Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and this morning we will hear the Gospel from St. Mark and talk about the Word of Life for November. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
It may seem early to tell you about this, but actually Christmas is not that far away. The St. Patrick's Parish Altar and Rosary Society, 3550 South Alameda, will hold their annual Christmas Bazaar on Saturday, November 10th, from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. It's an opportunity to get your Christmas shopping behind you early this year. There'll be vendors of many types, along with arts, crafts, and baked goods to choose from, as well as a silent auction. For vendor or other information, call Mildred Hoffer at 884-5975.
Don't you just love the fall? With all its bake sales, the St. Francis of Assisi Mission Altar Society is holding their Thanksgiving bake sale Sunday, November 18th from 8 a.m. till 1 p.m. Goodies and delectables galore in Legato at 303 FM 534 and County Road 185. For complete information, call 361-562-7643.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm ready to vote.
I've already voted.
You did?
I'm an early voter.
Okay.
Well, all right.
You know, I'm kind of a traditionalist. I like the day.
You like the excitement of voting day?
Yeah.
So. You know, it's... We encourage everybody to get out there and vote if they haven't.
Please, yes. Get out there and we'll see you at the polls.
Exactly. So our gospel today is from St. Mark, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You are right in saying, He is one and there is no other than He. And to love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself, is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, last week we were talking about the Year of Faith and the Catechism, and I happened to find the verse in the Catechism or the paragraph in the Catechism that had this exact piece, which was 2196. And at the end of it, it says, of that paragraph, it says, "Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law."
Right. Well, this is a beautiful gospel, and again, in context of the Year of Faith, especially because, you know, you see a scribe coming to Jesus, kind of a teacher of the law, and asking Jesus, the Son of God, and not aware of that, of course, but which is the greatest of all the commandments, and Jesus responds with the primacy of loving God above all things, with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. But he also adds, then love your neighbor as yourself, putting them
equal.
Equal. And so it really is one is the expression of the other, and one is impossible without the other. And so he brings them together. But what's interesting is the scribe says, "You're right," and then kind of repeats the same answer, and then Jesus responds to him, "Now you're not far from the kingdom of heaven." And so there is this beautiful kind of interchange of this commandment. What strikes me on this Sunday about this gospel, which we hear throughout the year and which we all know quite well, is that it's really a statement of priorities, because the scribe is asking the first and the greatest of commandments. And putting one's house in order personally, I mean, on a personal level, is really to set priorities. When our life gets, I know mine, I don't know about yours and everyone else that's listening, but our house gets really out of order when our priorities are mixed up. Right. And I'm running around doing this, or I do this, and really avoiding doing something else that I know is more important, etc. That's where everything gets out of focus.
Right.
And so even in our in life, the scribe comes up and, of course, wants to know which is the first. Let's go to the very top of the list. If we were to accomplish anything today, what would it be? And Jesus, of course, recites. He really speaks with authority this commandment, which is in two parts: to love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. The interesting thing to me, again, is that the scribe comes back with, "This is worth more than any burnt offerings or sacrifice." And of course, there is the heart of their religious life, of offering sacrifice in the temple, etc., as ours is offering Jesus on the sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus on the altar at Mass. But we also hear Jesus saying, if you're bringing your gifts to the altar and there you remember that your neighbor has something against you, you go be reconciled first. It's not that the sacrifice it's not that the scribe was saying it's not important to offer burnt offerings and sacrifices. And it's not that Jesus is saying it's not important to come to the altar. He's saying first, the first commandment, the priority, the top list, is to love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Then bring your gifts. Then come, because you come with a pure heart. And so this is the real expression of faith, to put all of this first and then come back and offer your gifts. You know, there are surveys today in which many people, and especially young people, are saying that they consider themselves spiritual, but they don't belong, you know, to any organized religion.
Right.
They don't want to belong
right.
to any organized religion. And, of course, unfortunately, many of us may judge them for that, and certainly we don't agree because we found right. something else. But I think it's during this year of faith and as we approach the new evangelization, it certainly is a time for us to consider what are they saying to us. And in some ways, these are not definitive statements on my part, but certainly I think part of it is maybe the image that we have presented as clergy of the church, or as parents, or as aunts or uncles, or members of a parish, that maybe other things in our life and in our community life have been more important than the greatest commandment, or that we don't follow through in certain activities in our Christian life with the spirit of God is first in my life. You know, having been a pastor in a parish for several years, you know, there's anytime human beings get together, there's going to be little spats, or my organization is better than yours. We do more than you do. And there's this spirit of competition. There's perhaps even things that are said that are unwelcoming to people, that are offensive to people. And I'm not just talking about political correctness. I think, you know, whatever. But we know human life is human life. But this is where we have to be different. We have to take to heart, especially during this year of faith, this commandment to put God first in everything. Before we start a meeting, before we do an activity, before we come to Mass, before we serve dinner at the table, or before we go to work, you know, before everything, this has to be first. And if it's not, our priorities will get out of focus. Mm-hmm.
And we don't give witness to Christ without this commandment at the very heart. And so for us, it's to say, yes, there is the spiritual, but it also has to become incarnational in the sense that I need to belong to a community of faith. I need to express that faith in religious ritual, but not before and not placing all of that as some kind of a justification mm-hmm. for not loving God above all things and not loving my neighbor, especially those who are in need, those who are vulnerable, those who are helpless. All of that has to be first. Then even my ritual, and especially the Mass,
right,
because it is the greatest sacrifice of love, that all that becomes filled with meaning, not empty. We empty out the heart of the sacramental life of the Church by our lack of this commandment in our own personal lives and in our community life. So this is the first and the greatest of all the commandments.
When you said to put God first, my visual was it centers us. You know,
right.
If we wake up every morning, we put God first, it'll center us for the rest of the day.
Well, and yes, absolutely. And in many ways, it relaxes us. I mean,
right.
You know, the body, this is maybe getting off a little bit, but I don't think so. I think it's very, very much in line. When the soul is at peace, now, the world around us can be raging, and we may be in the midst of all sorts of turmoil and all of those things. But when the heart, the soul is focused, as you said, even the body relaxes.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of weeks ago, we as the priest and I had a 3 days together for fraternity, but also to learn a little bit. And the presenter at each of the sessions that we had took us into what's called Lectio Divina. We kind of ended each session with that. It was a wonderful exercise where you just sit in a chair. He had to sit, you know, you might think we're like in school, you know, feet flat on the floor, mm-hmm. not crossed, not angled, except flat on the floor. Your back straight. So try to straighten up in your chair as much as possible, as tall as possible. Hands not folded, but open.
And no iPhones.
No, well, yeah, that presumed. Everything
right.
quiet.
Right.
And the first thing he would say to us is, now, as you relax in this way, kind of let go physically, just let your body rest. And the first thing that's going to happen is the appointments that you've missed, the calls that you're waiting for, the food that's in the oven that needs to be taken, you know, all of these kind of barrage of activities that our mind is filled with. And we don't realize it is until we stop for a moment like that. But just continually asked us to relax. And I would ask people to maybe take up a practice like this. Just to relax and realize that God is the center of our lives, is the meaning of our life, the center of our life, and just spend time with that. And then he would begin to read the gospel of the day.
Mm.
And if we could just even today do that and hear those words, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, is worth more than any burnt offering. Just to absorb that, and then, as he would tell us, to let those words have a home in you. Welcome those words. You may not understand them. You don't have to understand them right now, if that's not the purpose of
right.
the prayer session at that time. But let those words find a home in you. And you'll find that each time you do that in a different part of the gospel, that's why we do the Word of Life, which we'll do next segment. Let those words find home in you, and then you'll see that your life really is a song, is poetry to God, who loves us and whom we want to love above all things.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break. When we return, we will have the Word of Life for November. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Many people remember the first Thanksgiving Day picnic at Our Lady of Consolation Church in Vatla because it took place 98 years ago. This year, November 22nd, enjoy their traditional family-style all-you-can-eat turkey dinner from 11 till 2. or you may take your dinner home to enjoy. Other activities include moonwalks, a trap and target turkey shoot, a silent auction, country store, and more. Your special day concludes with a country western dance that evening with music by the group Borderline. Great food and all-day entertainment in a family atmosphere. Celebrate Thanksgiving with the Votman community, south of Kingsville on FM 628 East. For complete details, call 361-297-5255.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, as is our tradition on the first Sunday of the month, we have the Word of Life.
This Word of Life is for November, and it comes from the Gospel of St. John, the 14th chapter, verse 23. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Jesus is giving his powerful farewell address to his apostles, and he has assured them, among other things, that they will see him again because he will reveal himself to those who love him. Then Jude asked him why he intends to reveal himself only to them and not to everyone. The disciple was hoping for a great public manifestation of Jesus, one that would change the course of history and that would be, in his opinion, more effective for the salvation of the world. In fact, the apostles thought of Jesus as the long-awaited prophet of the last days, who would reveal himself to everyone as the King of Israel. Putting himself at the head of the people of God, he would establish at once and for all time the kingdom of the Lord. Instead, Jesus explains that he will not reveal himself in an external and spectacular way. His will be a simple but extraordinary coming of the Trinity into the hearts of the faithful, wherever there is faith and love. With this answer, Jesus indicates how he will remain in the midst of his own followers after his death, and explains how it will be possible to establish a relationship with him. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Jesus can be present in Christians and in the midst of the community even now. There is no need to wait for the future. The temple that welcomes him is not made of bricks and mortar. Rather, it is the very heart of the Christian that becomes the new tabernacle, the new living dwelling place of the Trinity. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. But how can Christians achieve this? How can they have God come and dwell in their hearts? How can they enter into this profound communion with him? Through love for Jesus, a love that is not mere sentimentalism, but one that keeps his word, a love that will show itself in everyday living. It is to this love on the part of a Christian, verified by actions, that God responds with his own love, and the Trinity comes to dwell in the person's heart. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Keep my word. Which are the words that the Christian is called to keep? In John's Gospel, my word is often synonymous with my commandment. The Christian, therefore, is called to keep Jesus' commandment. But these should not be viewed as a list of laws. They should be understood as being summed up in what Jesus illustrated by washing the disciples' feet, the commandment of mutual love. God commands all Christians to love one another to the point of total self-giving, as Jesus taught and did. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. How can we live this Word of Life well? How can we reach the point in which the Father himself will love us and the Trinity will come to dwell within us? By loving one another with all our hearts, with decisiveness, and with perseverance. It is precisely through loving in this way that we Christians can begin to live that deep-reaching Christian asceticism that the crucified Jesus asks of us. For the practice of mutual love causes the other virtues to blossom in our hearts, and this love is also the surest measure of true Christian holiness. Written by Kara Lubick.
You know, as it seems to happen every month, and I know this is probably by design, but it fits in so beautifully with our Gospels, you know, loving our neighbor as ourselves.
Very much. When we were talking from the Gospel of Mark in the first segment of the program, the Gospel of today is the greatest commandment, you know, to love God and to love our neighbor. And so now Jesus really puts all of that as a condition to loving him, that whoever loves me will keep my word. And as she says later on, that word is summed up, is really highlighted in the commandment of Jesus that we love one another, which is he calls his commandment. So it's a very intimate kind of love. It's a very committed kind of love. It's not something that we can just do an act of love for one person and we may never see them again. That's also part of the gospel as well. But really the heart of Jesus's commandment is the abiding love between his disciples. And so we see that marriage is the real hallmark of that, where a man and a woman leave mother and father and all everything else, mm-hmm. and come together to commit themselves totally to love. Persevering in that love despite the obstacles. And the rest of us as well who are not married, we're not exempt from that. In fact, it's to enter into relationships in the Christian community, whether in a professed way or as a single person, but to be a part of that network of mutual love. And she says here so beautifully, that Jesus demonstrated that not only first and foremost by the Eucharist. You know, this is a memorial of that one sacrifice of total self-giving, total commitment, total perseverance to the end, but also demonstrated it in the washing of the feet, in the simple everyday things of feeding, putting food on the table. I mean, I think this is something that maybe we forget as we're with people or in a family, you know, that just putting food on the table is a committed, persevering act of love,
right?
Of a mother and a father, and then cleaning up the dishes as we did
afterwards,
complaining and everything else. But you know, it made us part of that dynamic. Or in a parish, you know, serving and being there when called upon and really serving at our jobs. I mean, you know, we have to understand more and more, and I know perhaps people get tired of me saying it, but our life, our committed life, our perseverance and love goes beyond the church walls and beyond the parish community, and it's brought into the workplace where we are and every person we meet, and that makes us missionaries. That makes us evangelizers. So we are evangelizing by doing our work, you know, with perseverance and love, and maybe taking a correction or a crossword or something with, you know, this is the cross of the moment, and sustaining that with love and continuing loving that person. This is how we're evangelizers. It's a simple concept that we maybe make too difficult at times, but it's a very simple thing. I remember several years ago in a parish that someone came to speak to me, and a young mother actually was just so burdened with, you know, the new vocation that she had as a married woman and children and the drudgery of the household. And I think she may have had a part-time job and then going to the grocery store and, you know, just kind of the list that we all know.
I mean,
we all know those things. But at a certain point, I just said to her, do you realize that every moment that you stand in the grocery line can be either a drudgery or it can be an act of love for your family. And just to be there, to do the shopping, every article you put in your bag, you say, this is out of love for my family. And you walk through. And she came back a few weeks later with this huge smile on her face. It's like the world had opened. And she said, I found myself doing that. And I found myself saying hello to the cashier, brightening up her day, and to the guy that was the young man or young woman that was sacking her groceries. And it just, like she said, the lights turned on. Mm-hmm. And it was a simple thing, just because I do everything out of love. Mm-hmm. And this is what Jesus is saying, to let his word, which is his commandment, which is to love everyone, but especially that we love one another, so that I'm sure as she returned home after this grocery extravaganza, you know, the love for her family was even greater.
And she felt valued.
And the value, yeah, the value of our life is love. And so that is the meaning of our life, and we find the meaning of ourselves, of who we are in that way. So this is truly the commandment. The thing I like also in the Word of Life is it toward the end where she says that we, by loving one another with all our heart and with decisiveness and perseverance, God dwells in us. But then she also goes on to say that this is a Christian asceticism, which is, this is a Christian way of life. This is the road to holiness. And from this kind of love, all the other virtues blossom. So sometimes we say that, isn't he patient? That's because he's loving. Or isn't she joyful? That's because she's loving. All the virtues, and we can name hundreds of them, all are rooted in the fact that one loves.
Right.
If one is not loving, they can't have these virtues.
Right.
So it's not the individual virtue that really shine. Maybe it is the individual virtue that shines, but we should always recognize that that has a root, and that root is love that Christ has planted in our hearts.
Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful, and you can tell it in people immediately.
Sure.
When they have that. Well, thank you, Bishop. So if you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Almighty and merciful God, by whose gift your faithful offer right and praiseworthy service, grant, we pray, that we may hasten without stumbling to receive the things you have promised. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week, and don't forget to vote on Tuesday.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.